You are listening to the Mid-Current Church Podcast. Today's message is week 5 of our series, Growing Pains, 5 Foundations to Spiritual Maturity. For more information and to visit us online, go to midcurrentchurch.org. And now, here's Pastor Sten Carlson with today's message.
Hey, when I look back over the last 36 plus years of my life, and that's just a little freebie for you in case any of you are sitting there asking, how old is he? Okay, over the last 36 plus years of my life, it's actually pretty easy for me to come up with a list of reasons why I should not be standing up here today. There's plenty of reasons why my heart really should have been too discouraged, my spirit should have been too crushed, my ego bruised too badly, and why my faith in God really should have and could have been destroyed. I won't go into all of them today, but two things come into my mind in particular. To begin, when it comes to my career, as they say, my decision to pursue full-time ministry, it almost ended as quickly as it began, in somewhat disappointing fashion. At 22 years old, the fall after I graduated from college, I got a job as a youth pastor at a big old church out in Colorado, straight north of Denver. And it felt like a dream job at a dream church in a dream location, and I had just married my dream girl, who was standing up here, Erica Print at the time, and I could not have been more excited about my life. I mean, truly, my life was going up and to the right. And yet it was not long until I sat in weekly meetings with my boss or my supervisor, holding back tears, hoping that I could make it through our hour-long meeting without crying in front of him. You see, there was a pretty steep learning curve for me in leading a youth group that was actually quite larger than the church that I, like the entire church that I attended as a kid. And I was up for the learning. I mean, I was up to the challenge. That wasn't the hard part. What was hard is that my boss started asking if I had ever considered any other careers. Right? Suggesting that perhaps this really wasn't for me. And so I started to wonder if maybe I had made a huge mistake, right? That this was pretty crushing to my innocent little, 22-year-old heart and soul. I was crushed. Started wondering, man, maybe I did make a huge mistake in all of this. Maybe this ministry thing, maybe it really wasn't my gig. And truthfully there, I only lasted for about 2 years before I resigned and turned the page on the dream that I had just moved across the country for not 2 years ago. Okay, that was my career. Didn't start off the way that I assumed that it would. Then there just comes everyday life, right? I also had moments where my faith, just because of the life that was happening around me, I had moments where my faith really could easily have tanked as well. I'm thinking mostly about the four-month stretch where both my dad and his dad, my grandpa, passed away. It was a little premature, maybe, for my grandfather, but he did live a very full and very faithful life, one that we could ultimately celebrate. My dad, on the other hand, was way too young, and so was I. He was 55, and I was only 21. He was battling cancer and heart health all during a stretch of unemployment in his life, and all of it felt just a little too much, right? Felt a little too cruel, right? He was sick. He was going through surgery and through treatment, and we prayed for healing, and our church prayed for healing, and my dad dug into his faith in a way that he never really had before, and he opened himself up to all sorts of new prayers for healing that he had never really done before, and yet none of those prayers were answered. And on January 1st of 2007, we lost him for good. Right, both of these were pretty monumental, milestone-marking moments in my life, moments that I will never, ever forget. And the truth is, I think all of our lives, right? All our faith lives, our family lives, all of our professional lives, I think they are often full of these very same kind of make it or break it moments, right? You may have experienced similar moments in your own life. Maybe you're experiencing one of those moments of pain and difficulty right now. Maybe you are right in the middle of one of those kind of moments or seasons. And if so, I want to let you know that those are the very moments that I want to discuss today. Those are the very kind of moments in your life and mine that I want to examine today and that I want to talk to you about today as we conclude in this series called Growing Pains. Growing in any area of our life is never easy, but it is vital, incredibly vital. And the same is incredibly true when it comes to our spiritual lives. And we think there are five foundations for us to build into our lives that will help. It was actually a church in the Atlanta area that discovered five kind of reoccurring factors that continually showed up in the lives of people who shared specifics and shared details of their faith journey. And we think these five things are things that we need to pay pretty close attention to in our own lives. Here they are as a way of review. Number one, practical teaching. Number two, providential relationships. Number three, private disciplines. Number four, personal ministry. And number five, pivotal circumstances. Okay? Now, as we conclude this series today, can anyone guess which one we're talking about? Very good. Smart group we have here. Number five. Okay, we're talking about number five, pivotal circumstances. Okay? Anytime someone describes their faith journey, this is true when I hear people share their stories. Anytime someone describes their faith journey, they almost always include the events or the moments that could be described as defining moments. In fact, we will actually offer a four-week MC circle in the spring that we call MC Connections. It's a super simple but really effective way to connect with others here. And one of the only four things you have to share in MC Connections is to share a few of the defining moments from your own life. And some of these defining moments, as we have heard in the past, some of them are good. Some of them are great. At the time you met your spouse, or that you had your first child, or that you got that scholarship, or that you got that promotion. Those are great moments, great defining moments. But just as often, those defining moments involve pain. They involve disappointment, right? It was the death of a family member, or it was the divorce, or it was the diagnosis, or it was the job loss, or it was the betrayal of a friend or someone close to you. And either way, right, in positive or in negative circumstances, our faith can be greatly affected, right? Because the reality is, even when life is good, when life is good, sometimes we don't depend on our faith as much as we really should. And then when life is hard, we oftentimes just lose our faith completely, right? Either way, what makes these kind of circumstances pivotal is the fact that our faith is hanging in the balance, right? Life's ups and downs have the potential to impact faith for good or for bad. The challenge with this piece, the challenge with number five, compared to the other four foundations that we have examined, the hard thing about this is there is no way to plan for or to program, or to create, or to guarantee pivotal circumstances. It's nothing we can do, right? We don't see them coming. We don't schedule them for our lives. We don't plan on them at a certain day or a certain time of the year. And that's what makes this faith catalyst a little different than the other four. It's why we saved it for last. The truth is, we can choose to place ourselves under regular practical teaching in the local church. We can choose to pursue providential relationships, right? These are the people that we hear God through and that we see God in. We can choose to pursue those kind of relationships. We can choose to commit to private disciplines in our life. We can choose to give what we have away in personal ministry to people and to the world around us. We can choose those four things. But pivotal circumstances, in a way, well, they kind of choose us. And after a while, when you hear story after story of the defining moments in people's lives, you start to realize, I start to realize, that it's not the circumstances themselves. It's not the circumstances themselves that determine how people respond and how their faith is positively or negatively impacted. Right? After a while, when you hear the defining moment stories, you realize it's not the circumstances themselves that determine how faith is impacted. What becomes clear is that it is typically someone's interpretation of those circumstances that ultimately determines how life and how faith is impacted. Your faith and my faith, it often hangs in the balance there as to how we interpret the circumstances that happen to us and happen in our life. And so today, as we bring this series to a close, what I want to do is this. I want to turn to God's word, what we call scripture. I want to turn to scripture to provide an example for you of two of the greatest possible interpretations of some of the worst possible set of circumstances. That's my goal today, to show you an example of two of the greatest possible interpretations of some of the worst possible circumstances anyone could experience. The first is the story of a man named Joseph, whose story is told in the Old Testament. Some of you know his story quite well, and others of you may not know his story at all. And so I want to give you, as quickly as I can, the Cliff Notes version of Joseph's story. Joseph was one of 12 brothers. Unfortunately, his 11 brothers hated him. Because of how much they hated him, they once left him to die in a pit. They had a temporary change of heart, and they didn't leave him to die. They just sold him off as a slave to a group of traveling traders, okay? He winds up then in a faraway place, very far away from home. He winds up in Egypt as a servant in the home of Pharaoh, one of the most powerful men in the world. And while he's living in Pharaoh's household, he gets falsely accused of sexually assaulting Pharaoh's wife, and then he's thrown into prison in a foreign country. Okay, calling these pivotal circumstances is like an understatement. It's almost insulting, right? These are some of the most cruel and unusual circumstances that could happen to anyone. You could not draw this up any worse. But his story continues. While in prison, it becomes evident that Joseph is able to interpret dreams. It's amazing, right? He soon interprets the reoccurring dream that continues to trouble Pharaoh, and he informs Pharaoh that Egypt will soon experience 7 years of incredible abundance and then 7 years of the most extreme famine. And Pharaoh is so impressed with Joseph that he appoints Joseph to oversee the 7 years of abundance. Under his leadership, they store away, you know, all of the livestock and the meat and the grain and all the crops. And Joseph then coordinates all of the food distribution efforts during the 7 years of famine. He does this so successfully that he rises to be Pharaoh's right-hand man, and he's number two in charge over all of Egypt. Eventually, sometime much, much, much later, Joseph's long-lost brothers, not even knowing if Joseph is still alive, eventually his long-lost brothers come to Egypt begging for food because they heard Egypt's got food. They come for food during the famine, and when they realize, they had no idea, when they realize that they are begging at the feet of their brother that they left for dead, they're mortified. I mean, they're thinking to themselves like, dang, we are screwed. We ain't getting no food from him. But look at how Joseph responds to them. Look at how he responds to this hand that he was dealt in life. Look at how he brings a conclusion to this whole situation. Joseph writes to his there he says, and it's written in the book of Genesis, here's what he says to his brothers. He says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. And he brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. You intended it to harm me, God intended it for good, right? He's saying to his brothers, fellas, it's all good. We're all right. Right? He's going like, yeah, you guys are big jerks, okay, but God bailed you out. Right? He's saying to them, hey, you guys wanted to hurt me, but God wanted to use me to help others. He's going, on the outside, this looks like, my life looks like a total disaster, but God had other plans. He's saying to them and to everyone listening, hey, to the untrained eye, this looked like a major setback, but for God, it was a major setup. Folks, Joseph experienced more on his own than any two or three or four or five people should ever have to experience combined. More on his own than anyone should, and yet not once was his faith ever really shaken. Why? How is this possible? It's because of his interpretation of those events. He was convinced that God was in the details. He was certain that God's fingerprints were somewhere in the fine print. And here's what I want you to take away from all of this. Here's what this story, I think, teaches you and me. And I understand that you may think I have to say this because I'm like a pastor, right? But I'm not saying this because of that. I'm saying this because of A, what I've experienced in my own life, and B, because of what this story demonstrates for us. Here's what I want to say to you. Here's what I want you to understand. Behind the changing circumstances of your life and mine lie the unchanging plans of God. Behind the ever-changing circumstances of your life and of my life, I am telling you, behind it all lie the unchanging plans of God. Joseph's story is living proof that God's people can truly trust and can truly believe that in all things, God is working for the good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purposes. Living proof of that. We truly can trust and believe in that God. And truthfully, we can do more than that. We can do more than just trust and believe that God is good even when life is bad. And we actually see this in the life of one of the first ever church leaders. His name is Paul. And Paul is the second example that I mentioned, right, of the one of the greatest possible interpretations of some of the worst possible situations. At the time he writes what I'm going to show you in a second here, Paul has given 25 years of his life to planting churches, to traveling around the first century world, preaching the good news about Jesus and encouraging Jesus' followers. And along the way, he's been shipwrecked, persecuted, and imprisoned because of the journey that he was on. And in a letter that he writes to the church in Rome, he's reflecting on it all. And look at what he writes to these Jesus followers in Rome. He says to them, we can rejoice too. We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. For we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. We can rejoice. Does he know what he's saying here? We can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials. I do think he knows what he's writing here. See, I think Paul knows that he's writing to people not unlike you and not unlike me, who may be prone to believe that when you believe in Jesus, well, then life is supposed to be carefree. But he wants them, and I think consequently he wants us to understand that might not be the case. And he wants us to understand that even though life is not guaranteed to be a bed of roses, life's difficulties do not contradict the blessing of being a Jesus follower. In fact, sometimes God uses those difficulties to bring even greater blessings. The key for Paul is responding to life's difficult trials. The key for Paul to responding to this stuff the way he does is to recognize that God uses these things, these difficulties, these trials. He doesn't always cause them, but the key for Paul to responding the way he does is to recognize that, God uses them to build perseverance in our lives. Just as resistance to a muscle strengthens it, so challenges to our faith strengthen our faith in a way that we should desire. That's why Paul says we can rejoice. We can be glad for this stuff. We can rejoice in even our sufferings, knowing that God is truly at work, even in the midst of the pain, to bring us blessings. And so if you and I, if we're going to, you know, follow in these footsteps, we have to understand you and I will only rejoice too if we understand that behind the changing and behind the challenging and behind the painful circumstances of our lives is the unchanging and the all-knowing and the all-loving plans of God. And the degree to which we embrace this kind of truth, I think, it is the degree that the faith grows and develops and deepens and matures in you and me. The degree to which we believe it and understand it and buy into that truth, I think, is the degree that our faith grows and develops and matures the way we might want it to. You see, one of the things that I think most impacts or influences our interpretation, if that's the key, if it's not the circumstances, but it's just our interpretation of the circumstances, one of the things that I think most influences our interpretation of life's circumstances, it's our worldview. It's our baseline, starting point, ground zero understanding of God and what we believe to be true about God. See, too often, and ultimately I get why this happens, but too often we let what we believe about God be influenced by the events in our life, right? We let what we believe about God be influenced by the events that happen to us in our life rather than the other way around, right? Too often we let our faith be influenced by that. We go, well, if life is good, then God is good, but if life is bad, then that must mean that God is bad. That's how we operate. Life is good, God is good, life is bad must mean God is bad. And when you think about it, right, when this is our approach, it's just like we're like a ping pong ball, just allowing ourselves, you know, to be volleyed back and forth with no control over where it goes or where it ends up or which side of the net it ends up on. When that's our approach, we're the same way, back and forth, up and down, no idea where we're going to land, where we're going to come down, where we're going to end up, or what side of the net we're going to land on. I mean, if you think about it, I think that's how most people allow their faith to be influenced by what it is that comes their way. And I just think, man, what if instead we take a hard look at the God of the Bible? What if we look at the Jesus that came to earth for us? And what if we observe the examples of the men and the women who faithfully follow Jesus no matter what? And what if we make up our minds about who we believe God is and how good we believe him to be no matter what? And what if that was the lens through which we interpreted life's up and down moments? Then we would understand. Then maybe we'd be able to see that behind the good and the bad and the ugly in our life, there is still a God whose love for us and whose plan for us and whose purpose for us is unchanging. Right? We don't make up our mind about God in the moment. We don't make up our mind about God in a way that's dependent on the moment. We make up our mind about God long before those moments ever come our way. Difficult, sure, but not impossible. I mean, truthfully speaking, if we kind of rewind to where I started this whole thing, truthfully, I would pay anything. I would pay anything to have my dad still with us today. But if we sat down long enough, I could tell you all of the stories of the way my entire family saw God in the details of all of that, and how we see even more of God still today because of the life that my dad lived, especially the life that he lived down the stretch. Right, if you talk about my raging start in ministry here, right? The question is, well, did my first boss in ministry make me want to, you know, work for Home Depot the rest of my life? Were there, you know, some of the, you know, most hardest and most discouraging moments of my life there in those meetings, right? Yes and yes, right? The answer is yes to both of those questions. But all of it, truthfully, I can say this with the utmost honesty, all of it, all the meetings, all of the discouragement, all of it produced in me a perseverance to keep going and to remind myself ultimately that I don't seek the approval of people, but only the approval of God, who I believe had called me to the path that I was traveling. Now, I don't come to that place. I don't come to those conclusions, right? You know, because of some kind of spiritual, like, superpower that only pastors have. I don't come to that place. I don't come to those conclusions because of that. And I come to that place essentially because of a line in the sand that I've drawn. It's a line in the sand that I chose to draw because of a decision that I made long ago to interpret all the events in my life through a lens that says that God is unchanging even in the midst of circumstances in my life that can change at any moment. Right? And you can make those decisions to in a way that could change everything. And so, Mid-Current, as I kind of wrap things up here, right, I'd love to ask you a question. I'd love to ask you if there are any circumstances in your life right now, or maybe ones that you've experienced somewhat recently, right? Are there any circumstances that could use some reinterpretation? Right, if I could challenge you this week, I'd ask you humbly, I'd ask you to look again at the situation that you're in or the situations that you once experienced in your past. I'd say, look again. And this time, look for God in the fine print. And I'm not saying that means that life should be easy then, that if God is in the fine print, then life should be easy, and then that thing that was hard, well, it shouldn't be so hard. I'm not saying that. All I'm saying is don't stop examining and re-examining the situation until you've discovered how exactly your setback could be God's setup for you, for your heart, or for the good of the world around you, for the plans or for the purpose that God has been lining up for you. And folks, here's what's cool about this, right? In addition to the foundation that kind of, you know, attitude, in addition to the foundation that I think that helps build in our lives, here's what's cool. Your response and my response to life's ups and downs, it can play a huge part. It can play a huge role in what this world believes is true about God. See, we can either confirm what most people already assume is true. We can either confirm for the world around us that God is only good if life is good, and if life is bad, then God is bad. We can confirm that message for everybody watching. Or, and this is what gets me excited, or we can start to turn some heads around us by painting an entirely different picture, right? Your life and my life, it can send a message to the world that is watching that our circumstances may change dramatically, but God's plan and God's will and God's purpose and God's love for us never does. See, if Mid-Current Church and of all of us who call this place home, if we could send one message to the St. Croix Valley, if we could send one message to all our friends and all our neighbors and all our coworkers and in Hudson and in River Falls and beyond, that would be it. That behind the ever-changing circumstances of your life in mind is a never-changing God. Folks, our lives are full of various sets of circumstances every day. And only we can make them pivotal in our life and in our faith in a way that matters. And so I want to pray right now that you and I would make those circumstances as pivotal as they can be for the sake of our faith in the world around us. Would you join me in praying? God, I know that in a room like this, I'm willing to bet that there are some of us, God, who either have been or are maybe experiencing right now. They're right in the middle of some kind of situation, God. There are some circumstances bearing down on them that are hard, that are difficult. God, some of us, I mean, you know, are experiencing great seasons of life, and I pray that we would still interpret those great seasons of life through a lens that understands that you are good in the midst of when our life is good, God. But for any of us experiencing any kind of pain or any kind of challenge or any kind of difficulty, God, whether that's right now or whether that's in the recent past, God, I pray that you would help us to see you somewhere in the details, God. I pray that you would give us eyes to see where it is that your fingerprints might be in the fine print somewhere, somehow. God, I pray that you would develop in us, God, a trust and a confidence and a courage to be able to say that even though our circumstances change, that you never do. And God, I pray that heartbeat, that attitude of ours, God, that interpretation we have of difficult circumstances in our life, God, I pray not only does that strengthen our own heart to kind of draw that line in the sand, God, but I pray that you might use us to strengthen and to encourage and to uplift the world around us, God. That you might use us to lift the hearts and lift the souls of people who are discouraged now, wondering where you are in the midst of the difficulties they're experiencing. God, I pray that we might have a part in helping the world around us to see you no matter what it is that we see and experience in the lives that we live. And God, most of all, we give you thanks for your son, Jesus Christ, who endured the most unthinkable set of circumstances for us so that we could have life and life to the full. We give you thanks and we pray these things in his name. Amen. Hey, I'm really thrilled to have you here with us. And I just want to say, I mean, if you're either right now or this week, maybe if you feel like you're kind of like having that line in the sand kind of moment, if you feel like there's something in you that says, hey, I wanna make that kind of decision in my life, I just wanna let you know that baptism that you heard Haley speak about just earlier in the service today, that could be the most amazing next step to take. Could be the most fitting kind of outward expression of that kind of inward commitment and that inward decision that you are making in your life. And so if that's you, if you're curious, if you're thinking about it, if you're wondering if maybe that's the next step for you to take, jump on midcurrentchurch.org/baptism. We are crazy excited to celebrate baptism next Sunday right here at 9 or at 10:30. And we're also doing that on the very same day we celebrate 5 years of existence as a church. And so there are a whole host of reasons why I am hoping and praying that I will see you right back here at 9 and 10:30 next week as we celebrate many of the good things that God is doing right here. Have an amazing rest of your afternoon, and we will see you again soon. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to this week's message from Midcurrent Church. Visit us online during the week at midcurrentchurch.org and connect with us on Facebook and Instagram.